Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Before we get back to Matt and Craig, I'm going to give you something. Not immediately, because we want to give the streamers a chance. So at 8:30, we're giving away two tickets to USA Rugby versus Scotland. Two tickets for the international rugby event. The Eagles take on the world's number 5th ranked team. Don't miss this epic battle at BBVA Compass Stadium, the home of the Dynamo, Saturday, June 16th. Kickoff is at 8 p.m., but come early for the Rugby Fan Fest. I've been to a couple rugby matches. The people like the party, so if you like that, show up early. If you can't get tickets from us, tickets are on sale now. Check it out at usarugby.org and order your tickets now. So caller 15 at 8:30. Wins a pair of tickets to USA Rugby this Saturday. It'll be a fun time.
Oh, right? USA Rugby. I went to when they played Scotland the last time. I think that was 3 or 4 years ago. And the pregame party, and I literally knew nothing about the sport. I really didn't. I still don't know a whole lot about the sport. I know more about the sport, but not a whole lot. But, you know, tell me there's a party and I'll be there. Definitely good with that. John and Lance had the day off. Matt Jackson, Craig Koshkin, and Del Olele with you here on ESPN 97.5. We were talking about this idea of rebranding athletes, rebranding sports, and I want to get to that, but I have to go off on a tangent here. Predictive text on the internet. The idea that I can type in three letters on Google and it will know exactly what you are thinking.
Everything's listening these
It's
days.
Really, really weird. Okay. So, for whatever reason, I had Bill O'Brien on my brain. Okay?
Well, we're thinking rebrand. You might want to rebrand Bill O'Brien.
Maybe I was looking at a nickname or a possible nickname for Bill O'Brien. I kid you not, I go to Google, I type in Bill space O apostrophe. And before I can even type in the other B, Google fills in Bill O'Brien butt chin.
That's pretty impressive. If you were going to say it just fills in Bill O'Brien, I was going to be highly disappointed with your rant.
I wasn't even looking for that. Google typed in Bill O'Brien butt chin before I even had a chance to type in the second B. That's insane.
There are a lot of people who are interested in Bill O'Brien's butt chin, clearly, because it all that is based on the number of searches for very specific things.
Well, here's the thing, though. What's worse, I think, is when you actually then Google Bill O'Brien butt chin, and here's what your options are.
Is this safe for work? I mean, there are people that are in the office at this point.
Well, I mean, you know, this, you know, we'll clean it up a little bit. Barstool Sports has a link that says, "Want to see Bill O'Brien's chin photoshopped on a long snapper's butt?" There is a video that says, "30 for 30, Bill O'Brien and his butt chin."
Yeah.
There is a syndicated radio show that says Bill O'Brien will never quit the Texans because of his butt chin. That's just bizarre. Predictive text is a little psychotic. It's going to melt my mind at some point. But getting back to rebrands, potential sports rebrands. Here's one I came up with, and then Craig throw one my way as well. I got Johnny Clipboard. Johnny Clipboard instead of Johnny Football for Johnny Manziel. How about Johnny Clipboard? He's now the backup quarterback for the Hamilton Tiger Cats of the Canadian Football League. I will give you $5 if you can tell me who is starting ahead of Johnny Football in Hamilton.
No clue. Zero. You could offer me $1 billion and I still wouldn't get that. I'm not even sure Google predictive text could get that one right. That's there, how obscure.
Guy named Jeremiah Masoli, who played for the Oregon Ducks a few years ago.
I remember Jeremiah Masoli.
A cup of coffee in the NFL. But Johnny Manziel is the backup quarterback for one of the worst teams in Canada.
And can't
this
crack
coming
the
season.
Starting lineup.
So I think Johnny Clipboard. Make some t-shirts.
It's better than what it was in Johnny Pool Party Johnny Vegas.
If you're an Aggie fan with a sense of humor, wouldn't you wear a maroon shirt that said Johnny Clipboard on it and had his silhouette with a clipboard?
Are there enough with a sense of humor that would actually wear that?
I would wear a maroon shirt that had Johnny's silhouette on it holding a clipboard. I think that would be classic.
I would have it positioned next to a silhouette of him in a Heisman pose.
Actually, here's what would be better. Could he have a clipboard in one hand and him making the money sign with the other? Would that work for Johnny Clipboard?
See, this is from a Coug, so I imagine Aggie fans are like, shut up! But I think it will work, but Johnny had his shirts Comeback Sizzin. Sizzin spelled S-Z-N. So that's why we call it Comeback Sizzin. So I don't think anything's beyond Johnny. Whatever shirt you can come up with, if Johnny thinks it'll sell, he might actually wear it for you.
Well, he's all about the money, so if it would generate revenue, there's nothing wrong with it. And there's nothing wrong with being all about the money either, just for the record. You got to look out for you. Mine, it's not even mine. I have to give my wife credit on this one because we were talking about this last night when you sent me the email about this idea. How about Art Me Too Briles? That's a rebrand that probably needs to happen.
Yeah, I do think that the aw shucks nature of Art Briles, that's pretty interesting. Is he the only unhirable rehabable coach at this point? It seems like everybody else has been able to find their way back into the sports world. I mean,
I don't know that he is unhirable after whatever given amount of time is. Look, I wouldn't hire him. I wouldn't touch him. I wouldn't go anywhere near him.
If you were a PR firm, would you work with him to try to rebrand and reimage him as Me Too, Briles?
I wouldn't go that far because that would be just awful unless he's willing to pay the outrageous fees that I'm going to put into that. But Art Briles, if his son can continually be hired, there's no reason that Art Briles won't get a look at some point, other than the fact that he's getting up there in age.
Okay.
I do think at some point someone's going to take a chance on him. I think it's foolish to do so, but football, more than any other sport, is very forgiving of these things, even in the college ranks.
Are y'all familiar with Matt Harvey, former pitcher of the Mets, now with the Cincinnati Reds? Do you remember what his nickname was?
Wasn't that the Dark Knight?
He was the Dark Knight. He was the Dark Knight. Since starting the MLB All-Star Game back in 2013, he basically went from party to party in New York City, compiled a 23-29 record. He's basically Derek Jeter without the gift baskets and the baseball acumen. So might it be better to just rebrand him as the Joker?
The Joker was cool. Was Matt Harvey cool?
No. No, no chance he's cool. Can you be cool in Cincinnati?
Well, Jared Leto's Joker's not cool, but Heath Ledger's Joker was cool, and other Jokers have been. I don't think you can give him that. It's too good of a... Maybe you call him the Penguin?
He's got to be more obsolete than that, or more obscure than that. It's going to be like the Scarecrow. Although,
see, these are
the
still all classic.
How about but the Scarecrow Batman was made villains. Cool by Batman Begins. So before Batman Begins, he could have been the Scarecrow. But since then, I don't think he can be.
Given his Between the Sheets activity, could we just call him the Social Disease, possibly?
I don't know who wants that rebrand. Maybe the Riddler. I think I might. If we're going to go with classic Batman villains, I think the Riddler might be a choice.
He is a bit of a conundrum in his performance and his fall off, and a bit of a resurgence in Cincinnati. So, I mean, that probably best fits the bill.
All right, how about rebranding the Utah Jazz? Defensive-minded team. Really hard to get booze in Salt Lake City. Why don't we call them Prohibition? How about the Utah Prohibition?
Utah Polygamy?
Nah, no, I don't think
they fight that with.
I think that's low hanging fruit.
That's true,
but I think Prohibition would be an unused team name. It certainly makes a lot more sense than Utah Jazz at this point. And I would say, and I will go to my grave believing this to be the case. And I know this is probably really unpopular. I think the dumbest team name in professional sports is Houston Texans.
But it fits what they are.
Generic?
Yes.
But here that's fair. If we go back to 2002, here were the options that were on the table. These were all of the trademarks that were registered by the team, and they had the websites, okay? In alphabetical order. They had Apollos. That would have made a lot more sense, been a lot cooler, been related to space.
Sure.
Bobcats, meh. Challengers, a tribute to the space shuttle. I don't know if people would have thought that was...
You're asking for headlines every time you lose a game.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Blowouts would be especially bad. Yeah. That's probably a good choice to go away from.
Colt 45s, which was dropped because of gun stuff, which really, come on. It's just a nickname. What's wrong with Colt 45s?
Well, it was right around the time. When did the Red River Shootout's name get changed?
Right around then. You're
all
right.
That 2002. Was right around the time, yeah.
It was a little later than that. I've gone to every one since 2000. So it was like 2006 or 7 when that went to Rivalry and such. We still call it Red River Shootout. That's what it is.
The Hurricanes was a possibility.
Well, I am a fan of a team nicknamed the Hurricanes.
The U, yeah.
But that's been a long-standing thing. I don't know if that would have, at that point, I guess now, at that point, it would have been fine.
That was pre-Ike, but then you would have had Ike and Harvey, and maybe people would have said that had too much of a negative QT rating.
Yeah, years, maybe like 3 or 4 years in, people would be questioning why that was still the name.
And then you had a bunch of oil-related names since you couldn't be the Oilers anymore. They had the Roughnecks, they had the Rough Riders, they had the Roustabouts, the Stallions.
Frankly, Apollos seems like the choice out of all these names.
Why not keep the space theme? About everything. I think that really is.
How about the Wildcats? You could have had Goldie Hawn as your, as like a silhouette of Goldie Hawn.
Well, the uniforms are generic as the uniforms you see in those TV movies or high school movies. So, yeah, the Wildcats would have worked.
I hate that nickname. I really do. And I'm not a Texans fan. I just think it really is. It is.
It's generic.
You wasted your money on your marketing and your consulting if that's what they came up with. I've got this great idea. Let's go with red, white, and blue, the colors of the Texas flag, and let's call them Texans.
And have a bull be the logo, a bull's
head.
Was
it an attempt to try to gain some traction in the state of Texas to take away from the Cowboys by calling themselves – did they want to promote themselves? I wasn't here at the time as Texas's team.
Maybe.
I mean, oh, my God. I don't know if John and Lance have the same save somewhere. There was a fight song that the president of the Texans came up with that lasted for literally 2 games. I remember it because I was actually doing the pregame and postgame show for the Texans when this happened. The first preseason game of the second season of the Texans, there was a fight song that the Texans actually had a band, if you can believe this. I don't remember when they killed the band, but they had a band, and the team. I even remember the lyrics. This is how bad it was. It was Houston Texans, red, white, and blue. Houston Texans, we'll cheer for you. Houston Texans, living the dream. We are Texas team. And after the game, on the post-game show, we took nothing but 100 phone calls of, this is the worst thing ever. I hate the Texans. This song is the worst. Kill the song. And they got so much blowback that every copy of that CD was broken, and it is as if that song never existed. But that is probably a worse decision than naming the team Texans was that fight song.
Could you put a more generic fight song with just generic catchphrases together to represent a generic branded team?
That is
awful.
It is actually worse than the Clay Walker song. And that is hard to believe because that thing has been beaten like a dead horse at this point.
Well, it lasted more than 2 games, though.
It did. I'll give you that much. Unbelievable. But we'll continue to take your suggestions from some sports rebranding. If you want to hit us up on Twitter, at MJ for Sports. Craig, what's your handle?
At C_KOSH.
You can hit us up on at 97.5 as well. Hanging with you until 9 o'clock this morning here on ESPN 97.5.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Remember, 8:30, caller 15 wins two tickets to USA Rugby versus Scotland. And that's not the only thing we're giving away today. Today's we're talking about the name game, where it's simple. We call two names, and if one of those names is yours, you try to be the first caller and be the winner of today's prize, which is a gift certificate for two free admissions to the Dinner Detective Murder Mystery Dinner Show. It includes the complete murder mystery show, a fantastic dinner, waitstaff gratuity, a prize package for the winner, and much more. In this show, everyone is a suspect, even you, and the killer might be at your table. And we're actually not doing the giveaway right now. Continue to listen because, well, for whatever reason, we like to keep you listening throughout the day. Continue to listen throughout the day for a chance to win the name game. Now back to Matt and Craig.
Thank you, Dell. We're sitting in for John and Lance today here on ESPN 97.5. We hit on possible rebrands and hit on the Texans. Have a suggestion here on Twitter from Mark Villalobos, who says, instead of the Texans, how about the Houston Inmates in honor of Bob McNair? What do we think about that?
You change the colors to all orange and black, and you're good to go.
Well, if it's federal, it'd be blue, like royal.
Well, then that would be fit the Texans in the blue and white. But I think orange makes a statement.
Fair enough. That's a good point. It would certainly be a much easier identifier on the field.
All right, John is on the phone, who wants to give us an idea for a Texans rebrand here. We'll let him get in here. What's going on, John?
Yeah, I'm a season ticket holder since day one. Me and my buddy are. And what's funny is a couple years before they had the team going, or when it was, you know, the name was announced, he was selected to do some kind of survey. It was like 100 people in a room. They asked questions about what colors you like and what the name, the team name and all that stuff. And he said they just drove the Texans, the Texan name and the red, white, and blue down everybody's throat. It was like they were asking suggestions, but they was really curving it towards the Texans. Like they already knew they were going to name the Texans. I don't even know why they did any kind of research. I can't stand the name either.
Do you remember
the Miami Floridians or the Philadelphia Pennsylvanians? It's so stupid. It's the most boring, stupid name I've ever heard in sports.
I'm with you. And since you're a longtime season ticket holder, John, do you remember that preseason game where they had the band and the fight song?
Oh yeah, I do. Yeah, I remember. And I hated, believe it or not, I hated Clay Walker's song so bad that wasn't even. That wasn't even as bad as Clay. To me, Clay Walker's is the worst song ever. It's even worse than that song. I mean, I'd rather hear that stupid high school sounding fight song than Clay Walker. And here's one for Clay Walker. I've been to all the games, and he does the national anthem every once in a while. He's gotten the words wrong a couple times. So,
wow.
Well, can we just get rid of Clay Walker? I think he's the jinx on the Houston. He's like the goat for the Chicago Cubs. We need to get rid of Clay Walker, and I think everything will be okay.
Yeah, I appreciate the input, John. Clay Walker is a Houstonian, so I get it. They do roll him out a lot. You know, like in the 80s when the Giants and the 49ers were constantly winning things, going to the World Series, going to the Super Bowl, they always rolled out Huey Lewis because he was from the Bay Area. They would roll him out for everything. Billy Joel gets rolled out a lot for a lot of New York things like that.
Well, John Bon Jovi got the Philly treatment for forever as well.
Is there somebody more relevant surely there's a better, well, we know there's a better vocalist that could be our go-to musician in Houston here?
I don't think she wants to be the go-to. She likes her life in New York. Yeah, that's where I was.
Beyonce?
She enjoys her life in New York, so nothing wrong with that. But
do we still – I mean, we claim her, but how much does she claim Houston versus her other locales right now?
Not very much.
Like, gun to her head, is she going to claim to be more of an East Coaster or a Texan, you think?
Depends on if she has a tour date here. Then she'll be all about Houston.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate right there. I came up with another one. I know we have a call waiting. We'll go to that. The Memphis Grizzlies have to be rebranded. They came from Vancouver, where grizzly bears are abundant, and that makes sense. But why not the Memphis Dry Rub?
I actually like the Dry Rub. I like that.
Do you know what the internet would do to that name?
A whole lot. That's why I came up with it.
It is what Memphis is known for, though, so we'll give them that much. Russ has got an idea for a rebrand. What's going on, Russ?
Hey, guys. It just disappoints me y'all missed the obvious one about Matt Harvey. I really don't know why he was ever called the Dark Knight, because that's Batman. Harvey Two-Face, man.
Oh,
you guys missed the ball.
That's a good one.
We did.
That's a good one. We did miss that one. Good call. Good call on that one. Because the internet is an amazing place, I was able to get the actual lyrics to the Houston Texans fight song.
But you gave us the actual lyrics. Did you miss
something? There's two verses. Because when you have an awful song, you definitely want to extend it out as long as possible.
You got
to
double down and at least get two verses.
Well, and in the Texans' defense, they weren't expecting to score a lot of offensive touchdowns, so they figured they weren't going to have to use this very often.
Is the phrase Swiss cheese O-line in this fight song?
Houston. Yeah, so the first verse I sort of got right, but then there's a second verse. Houston Texans fight till the end. Houston Texans, we're going to win. Houston Texans living the dream. We are Texas team. And then they would spell out Texans. And they had flags. They had, like, you know, a 1960s circa male cheerleading squad that would run out there with a T and an E and an X and an A and an N and an S, and they hoped that the crowd was going to play along. But they never told anybody they were doing this. They just showed up one day and said, we have a band, and we're going to do this new fight song. And they put it up on the Jumbotron, the lyrics, and everybody just looked there like, what are we supposed to be doing here? And it really was. It's unbelievable for a franchise that put $700 million that they don't have better marketing and promotions than to realize that this was going to be a bad idea.
It's almost more amazing that in the land of $12 beers that they gave up actual seats for a band.
Oh, yeah.
That they didn't sell. That's pretty shocking, actually.
Yeah. It was not a good one by any means. But we'll see. I still, as an Oilers fan, I am hopeful. I thought when Bud Adams died that maybe the Titans would give up the rights to Oilers. And there really is no reason to not give the branding and the colors, but the stats back too.
And that would be the ideal situation, is that they would be the Houston Oilers and we could go back to the wondrous powder blue and red uniforms, and that would be...
There is nothing that has happened in the 15 years of the Texans that is so important to omit and forget the 30 years of the Oilers before it. So wouldn't it be best if you could just pretend like the Texans never happened and just go back to being the Oilers? Wouldn't that be, like, who would be upset? Who would be upset that their 99-watt Texans jersey is no longer relevant and I've got to buy a Columbia Blue Oilers jersey back?
No, everyone would die to buy – everyone who's a Houston fan would die to buy a Columbia Blue 99 J.J. Watt jersey.
And I thought, if I'm not mistaken, did the Texans on a Thursday night football game or something like that, did they wear – old Oiler jerseys? Did they wear on like a color rush night or something like that?
They don't have the right, because Bud Adams still in the Titans own the rights to it. So I don't think they
I thought I saw a picture of Watt or Watson wearing a Columbia Blue jersey at some point. And I don't know if it was just kind of like
Deshaun Watson wore one to a game.
He wore a Moon jersey,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he wore a Warren Moon jersey.
Maybe that's what it was. But I wouldn't mind seeing those colors brought back. If you really want to rebrand something in a big, big way, that would be a good way to do it. Let's get Tyler in here. He wants to rebrand something in sports. What's going on, Tyler?
Hey, what's up, fellas? How we doing?
Good.
Doing well.
Yeah, man, I was just calling. I don't necessarily have a problem with the Texans. I guess it's just kind of like a cop-out. You know, it's just like, okay, we're going to settle. Name our team the Texans, you know, just point out the obvious, the Houston Texans. But like Dell was saying, I mean, we have the most basic jerseys in the league. I don't know if y'all remember, like, Madden back in, you know, 2003 and 4, whenever you created the team, the Texans jerseys were like the standard jersey you would make your team. You know, so I think that, I mean, I've grown up seeing the Rockets change their jerseys and the Stros recently, but even the Rockets too. You know, the Rockets and the Texans both need some new jerseys, man. I know that the Rockets have done their alternate, but the Texans, they did that the navy blue color rush that they couldn't wear because the Patriots were the home team on color rush night, and they had I guess they got to wear the navy blue, so they were SOL on that.
Well, the Rockets recognized the error in their way. The Rockets at one point had a ridiculous pinstripe pajama look that had a cartoon logoed Rocket on it, and the entire court at Toyota Center when it opened up was painted. It was bad, and it stayed that way until Yao Ming got drafted, and then they went to the People's Republic of China look.
Yeah, but the 90s, especially the late 90s, was a horrendous era for NBA uniforms. Think about the original Grizzlies uniforms with that
Raptors too.
The Raptors
with the big dinosaur
with the purple
on it.
Pinstripe.
Or the Nuggets. The Nuggets was awful.
Yeah. The old Nuggets, maybe. I like the powder blue Nuggets.
Yeah. I like the classic Nuggets with the
blue and gold.
With the cityscape on it right there. But yeah, I'm with you on that one. That's a good call. I'm good and appreciate it, Tyler. I'm good with the Rockets jerseys right now. I think they're in, not so much with the black, but I'm a ketchup and mustard kind of guy.
I like the black too, but I the ketchup and mustard is the way they need to keep it as far as Rockets jerseys are concerned.
Well, rebranding, that's what we're about this morning. So we're hitting on that. If you want to continue to throw your 2 cents in, feel free to do so. As Matt and Craig and Dale sitting in for John and Lance here on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
John and Lance have the day off. Matt Jackson, Craig Koshkin, Dale Olele with you here for another half hour or so. One thing that happened last night that probably none of you watched, and I only knew about it because of Twitter, of course, as is always the case. Did you guys see that the USA under 18 basketball team had a 45-0 lead against Panama in a tournament game?
They ended up winning something like 128-26 or something like that.
118-26 was the final score, but the US scored the first 45 points of the game. They led 43-0 after the first quarter. And got the opening basket on the second before somebody named John Gunn got Panama on the board on a follow shot with 7:57 remaining in the first half.
What's more likely there, that the U.S. scores the first 45 points or 47 points, or a guy named John Gunn scores for Panama?
Well, John Gunn does not sound like a very Panamanian name, but you never know on this. But do you think after John Gunn scored that bucket that he pulled like a Steve Wojciechowski and like slapping the floor, come on, come on, we're only down 43-2.
So that reminds me, in the early 2000s, there was a Texas A&M OU game where OU won 77-0.
They had a running clock in the second half, right?
Running clock in the second half. And late in the fourth quarter, A&M's backed up to like, OU has the ball, they're driving, they're inside the red zone somewhere. And some fourth string Aggie linebacker makes a tackle behind the line of scrimmage and gets up and is just like pumping his fist and just love denied, just loving it. And it's like scoreboard. So I wonder if that happened. You finally score a bucket and it's like he just runs back down the floor, clapping his hands, slapping the floor. Let's go, guys. It's time. Now we make our run.
70-8 was the score at halftime. Panama was 2 of 28 from the 3-point line, which means they were two buckets better than the Rockets were in Game 7 against the Golden State Warriors.
That's so hurt. I still maintain, everyone talks about the refs, everyone talks about whatever they want to talk about. The Rockets shot 16% from three when 25% would have gotten it done, which is well below what they did all season long.
Yeah, that was a bad night. It was a bad night, and I want to sit here and say, well, if Chris Paul was healthy, I can't quite go there that it's a if this, then that. I don't think it's that cut and dry. It certainly would have helped.
11 of 44 gets it done. 11 of 44 means the Rockets win and win an NBA title.
You know what Panama says, though, after that game, though, when they're down 118-26? So they lose 118-26. If you're in that handshake line and people are talking smack, Panama's in the World Cup.
Yeah, that's probably the only
Panama,
smack they could talk.
A country the size of this studio compared to the United States, managed to qualify for the World Cup, and the USA was unable to do so. Haven't hit a whole lot on the Rockets this morning and LeBron James situation. Where do you sit on that? What would you like to see? I am in the minority camp that would just like to see them bring back this team and add a shooter. Because what's puzzling to me is for a team that shoots as many three-pointers as the Rockets do, how many Rockets do you think rank in the top 50 in terms of three-point shooting percentage in the NBA? Top 50.
If I had to guess, I would guess two.
It's one, and it's probably not who you think.
Well, my guess would have been Eric Gordon.
Ryan Anderson is the only Rocket.
He shot enough to qualify given all the bench time that he spent in the last half of the season.
He's the only Rocket that shoots a high enough percentage to rank in the top 50. The only reason why the Rocket system works is because the math works.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder a little bit. So could you sacrifice a little bit of defense to go get a shooter? Because if you bring everybody back, I do think the style that they have to play to beat Golden State is taxing on what is becoming an aging team.
So the only issue I have with bringing everybody back, and I'm actually with you, I don't think they need to go get LeBron. I don't think that's actually a very good fit in Houston, LeBron with James Harden and Chris Paul. I don't think it's a great fit. Yes, they would win because of the amount of talent that's there. That doesn't mean it would be good basketball in the way that they won. The only issue I have with bringing everyone back as is you have to go find some point guard depth because Chris Paul is limited due to injury very often.
Well, but you're talking about a third guy, though. I mean, because Harden's going to handle the ball when Paul's not in the game.
I understand that, but you still have to find somebody. Because even when Harden, who, fair or not, has the reputation of someone who wilts under the spotlight, needs someone who can handle the ball when things just aren't falling for him, when he has to do everything. And it's different when James Harden handles the ball because Chris Paul's just not in the game, versus when he handles the ball because Chris Paul is unavailable.
Well, I don't know how many pesetas Sergio Yule is making in Spain, but that's the guy that they've been waiting on forever. He came back off of an ACL injury and was the MVP for Real Madrid in the Euro Cup this past season. And he's really considered the only asset that the Rockets have that maybe is of value to any teams if they're looking to make some trades. But I would, if I'm Daryl Morey, the call I make, I would see if I could convince JJ Redick to not go back to Philadelphia. He made $22 million this year. He's not going to make that next year. unless Philadelphia completely strikes out on the free agent market. And he almost came here last year. If P.J. Tucker had decided to go to Toronto rather than going to the Rockets, I think there's a pretty good chance that J.J. Redick would have ended up in Houston instead of Philadelphia. He had apparently been seeking a four-year deal, and originally the Rockets had a four-year deal on the table, and then they kind of took a year off that and put a three-year deal. But now that J.J. made his money, and I bet J.J. Redick's made close to $80 million as an NBA player. He's in his 30s now. You would think he would prioritize winning. And if you're looking to win, you're probably looking at a list of about four teams that can win it all next year, with Boston, with probably Golden State, obviously, Houston, and then a fourth team would probably be whatever team LeBron is on next year. You probably would put on that fourth team. Could San Antonio recruit LeBron to come to go play with Kawhi Leonard?
Interesting.
I still don't think LeBron on the Lakers makes them a title contender, even with Paul George.
I agree with you there. If I'm the Rockets and I'm determined to break the bank and go over the luxury tax and sign one more super high dollar player, even though I'm about to try and pay Clint Capella a big number as well, I think Paul George is the right guy because he shoots, he can play defense, he can do all those little necessary things. But I don't think LeBron James is the right guy. I wouldn't go after him if it's me. I understand why the city of Houston and the fan base that the Rockets have want him. It's just not it's not what I would do. But I'm also not a GM.
You're Oklahoma City, and you know you're going to lose Paul George for nothing, is Eric Gordon enough of a return that you would make that deal? Or would you rather get like a poo-poo platter of picks and younger players in a trade with the Lakers to move Paul George?
Probably not, because the Rockets are probably going to try and dump Ryan Anderson off in that same deal.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't take it if I'm the Thunder, but who knows?
I'm not saying that Ryan Anderson is untradeable, but if Jesus Christ was a general manager right now, I'm not sure he'd be accepting of Ryan Anderson.
If it was just 1 year left, he's extremely tradable. The second year kills it.
Well, we shall see. June 29th, the key date with LeBron James and his opt-in. We'll see whether or not he makes it official that he is headed somewhere else. We can hit on the Rockets. We can hit on some more rebranding. Get another segment to go before we hand things off here on ESPN 97.5.
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
John and Lance out today. Matt Jackson, Craig Koshkin in here with you. Raheel and Dell will be coming your way in just about 10 minutes here on ESPN 97.5. A lot of Twitter reaction to the idea of the Oilers name coming back, and some infighting about, and this is always the where I come out on this argument, a lot of people saying that the Oilers, like the Texans, were a crappy franchise. And I would argue that they had a crappy owner.
Yeah.
They actually did a lot of winning. It's just the owner was a boob.
Well, unfortunately, the Oilers will always be synonymous with the 92 game against the Bills, where they blew that 35-7 halftime lead.
Certainly with this generation. I mean, the Mike Renfro play stands out. I think Monday Night Football, Earl Campbell. There could be movies written. The team after that, the year after that, there should be an ESPN 30 for 30 on that team. That was the year where the Oilers suspended their starting left tackle because he went to be with his wife while she was having their first child.
How dare he?
And that same day, their starting defensive tackle committed suicide on the 610 loop right over here, literally 2 minutes from where we're sitting right now.
Wow, I don't remember that.
Well,
that's amazing.
He had it turned out that he was gay and he had a relationship with another man. And while they were driving on the 610 loop, they wrecked and there were all these urban legends about what they were doing when they wrecked. And the lover died on impact. And Jeff Alm was the player's name. He didn't want to be seen like that, so he pulled out. He had a shotgun in his car and ended up shooting himself right there on the 610 loop. That all happened in the same week. That was also the year that Buddy Ryan punched Kevin Gilbride on the sidelines.
I do remember that.
For I believe it was a Week 16 game against either the Jets or the Browns. That was also the year that they were 1-4 to start the year. They won 11 straight games. In fact, there was a huge pep rally right down the street down here at Dave & Buster's. Not to date Charlie Palillo at all, but Charlie actually hosted this way back when, and they brought all these people there, like Chris Dishman and Bubba McDowell and Warren Moon was there and Ray Childress was there, and everybody at that time thought for sure that Oiler team was going to win the Super Bowl. And I still say, and you know, if that team had played the Cowboys, there would not have been a Cowboys dynasty, because they were better than the Cowboys. They had beaten the Cowboys senselessly in the regular season, but they just could not get over the hump in the playoffs. I think Montana and one of the Cash brothers ended up killing them in the Astrodome the last time the Oilers were relevant at all within the city.
So that wasn't when they lost to the Steelers in the AFC Championship game.
No, that was in 78 and 79.
Oh, wow, I'm way off. Okay. So, I mean, I'm dating.
But that was a crappy owner, not a crappy franchise.
I liked the Oilers. I tend to agree with you on this, that it was a crappy owner, not a crappy franchise. There was a lot of winning. There just wasn't winning of the ultimate prize. And that's why people are probably hesitant. But if you don't want the classic Oilers and the classic uniforms and everything to come back, I don't think you can be labeled a true Houstonian at that point in time.
Yeah. And I will say that in my day job as a high school teacher, that this generation of youth is not into as much as the throwbacks as they are into the new kind of the new uniforms, the whatever flashy color rush they're doing, NFL or
whatever the
NBA
University
jerseys
of Oregon's doing.
Right. Whatever that, like that drives me crazy. That's the one thing I can't stand, is when I turn on a college football game and I don't know what teams are playing based on the uniforms they're wearing. The Ohio State Michigan game this year was ridiculous. The uniforms that Ohio State and Michigan were wearing, you could not tell it was Ohio State and Michigan playing. I want to say Ohio State wore, it wasn't gray or scarlet. It was a third color of some type.
Well, and if you can't tell Michigan and Ohio State apart, that's a bad thing. I mean, that's two classic teams. I'm sure Michigan still had the winged helmets, though. I mean, you had to be able
no,
to.
No, I don't think they did. I'm gonna pull it up here.
I don't remember. For some reason, I couldn't watch the game. I must have had a high school playoff game to broadcast that day, because I don't remember watching it this year. And that's a stop wherever you are type game and watch what's going on.
So Ohio State wore a metallic silver uniform for that game. It was, here it is right here. Now, would you know that's Ohio State?
Too generic, no chance.
Like, that is what they wore, and Michigan wore something different as well. That's, based on what I have seen of alternate jerseys, there's only two universities that I think should be wearing alternate jerseys, because I think they actually look better. Oregon is obviously one, and I actually think Oklahoma State's kind of weird stuff that they do with the gray and the orange actually looks pretty good.
All that's fine. If you're a program that needs the marketing leg up from all that, I'm cool with it. Baylor, when they do some of their alternate stuff, doesn't look terrible.
It actually looks better than their classic green look.
TCU has some really cool alternate uniforms as
well.
Okay,
maybe you're right and I'm wrong on this one.
But I'm talking about schools that don't need it. Michigan and Ohio State should never be that school. Texas, Alabama, Penn
right.
State, those are iconic uniforms.
It was
synonymous
blasphemy
with football
in state college when they actually put a swoosh on their uniform.
Yeah. USC is another one of those that's just
should
iconic, never.
Never.
But the schools that kind of need it, I mean, Oregon is basically a test school because of Nike's origins and all that. And I think some of what they do is cool, and some of it's horrendous, but, you know, now their uniform is whatever the flavor of the moment is.
The uniform change is almost 100% related to recruiting because that, like I said, that is what high school kids are into.
They
is
get up for it. For,
being
well,
able,
and the active players, you see all the reveal videos that come up on YouTube. They love it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Craig, had a good time today.
Pleasure.
Enjoyed working with you. Dell, appreciate all the work behind the glass as well. Appreciate U of H AD Chris Pesman joining us. Glenn Davis with us as well, who you will hear right here on ESPN 97.5 with Soccer Matters coming up Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. All right, on the way out here, give me a World Cup prediction. Who's going to take it home?
Germany's going to win it. It's not who I want to win, but they're going to win.
Well, I'm hoping for anybody but Germany would be good with me. Dell and Raheel coming your way next right here on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Have a great day, everybody.
Check it. Come experience what 25 years of perfection tastes like at Saltgrass Steakhouse. Proud sponsors of the ESPN 97.5 app. Download it today.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.